From team headquarters, this is the 49ers Studios Podcast.
We're back with another 49ers Studios Podcast. I'm Joe Fan, joined on the phone by ESPN NFL insider Field Yates. Field, I appreciate your time, man, especially in the grind of the NFL season. The fantasy playoffs are in full swing right now, but we've got to talk some Jimmy Garoppolo, and you're someone, I know you're from the East Coast, you're from the Boston area, you know that team, that organization very well. So let's just start immediately with, what was your reaction just over a month ago when you found out that the New England Patriots were trading Jimmy Garoppolo to the San Francisco 49ers?
Well, I guess I understood it from both sides, and it's probably really easy to understand it from the 49ers side. From the Patriots side, I actually thought that Bill Belichick was very insightful in terms of how he laid out that ultimately having two really good quarterbacks in the NFL wasn't going to be sustainable for them. Tom Brady, obviously, you know, the greatest of all time and, you know, a player that continues to play at an incredibly high level. And with Jimmy, him being a pending free agent, you know, how do you pay two quarterbacks at a high level? Which is going to be the reality that New England had to either face or make a trade now. For San Francisco, for the 49ers, absolute no-brainer. It's a team that is equipped uniquely in terms of assets available. Part of that is because of the salary cap situation that the 49ers currently are managing. Very fluid in terms of cap space, you know, projected to somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 million. That'll change by the time we get to the start of free agency when guys sign extensions or players manipulate their contracts or have their contracts manipulated or players released. But and all the draft capital that San Francisco has, and you know that trade last year, the trade from 2 to 3, which was, I guess, probably referred to everywhere but San Francisco as the Mitch Trubisky trade, but the Solomon Thomas trade in San Francisco, you pick up some additional draft capital, and that allows you to be flexible. So my impression of it was, I commend the 49ers and GM John Lynch and the decision makers there, including head coach Kyle Shanahan, for when an opportunity presents itself to acquire a quarterback, even when there's some baked-in risk for a player that was on an expiring deal, I commend them for going after it.
You know this New England organization very well, like I said. So, I mean, just how much did they covet this guy? I mean, John Lynch alluded to the fact that they made the call during the offseason. They made the call and said, hey, what about this guy? And there immediately was as a non-starter for New England. Obviously, the situation forced them to kind of change that tune. But that leads me to believe that he was a very coveted guy in New England.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the Patriots have drafted several quarterbacks to serve as the backup to Tom Brady or groom them, players like Brian Hoyer, who, of course, in a football is full circle situation, is now back there backing up Brady. But other quarterbacks that have come and gone have included Ryan Mallett, a former third-round pick, Jacoby Brissett, a former third-round pick, traded this offseason, of course, or right before the season to Indianapolis. There have been others that have backed up Tom Brady, and Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, pretty comfortably was viewed as the best player to come through that quarterback pipeline. And part of the reason why you don't want to trade away a quarterback is that in the NFL, as we see throughout the season, I mean, how many teams have actually been able to rely upon just one quarterback? I mean, look at the NFC West, that division by itself, obviously two teams in San Francisco and obviously Arizona that have used three separate starting quarterbacks this year. But beyond that, Jimmy Garoppolo was a really, really well-respected and liked, and I think the Patriots evaluated him at a very high level. So it's trading away a player that, you know, in a vacuum, I don't know the exact number of teams that Jimmy Garoppolo is the starting quarterback for, but, you know, I would think he's probably, in terms of ability and sort of upside, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if right now, already, with a limited number of starts, people already view him as one of the 15 quarterbacks you would like to build your offense around.
That's a really good point. And on our show yesterday, I just kind of played that hypothetical game and put yourself, it's a fun exercise. I mean, if you put on your GM hat, and we don't necessarily have to go down that path right now, but it's just, it's interesting conversation. It's good water cooler talk in terms of if you're John Lynch and all 31 teams call you and say, hey, we'll give you our quarterback for Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, how many are no-brainers, and then how many is it you maybe take some thought, and then how many do you say no to? And I think that the list surprised you that you're probably immediately putting him in that top 15 category, which leads me to his first two starts on the road. He's 2-0, set a 49ers franchise record for most passing yards in his first two starts with the club. Have you had a chance to watch any of the tape or watch those games live? And what did you see from Jimmy Garoppolo in those two games?
Yeah, I saw those games live amidst the course of watching the other games on Sundays as well. But I had a chance to go back and watch Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers subsequently after that. And how are you not impressed? Like, seriously, how are you not? And the numbers tell you one story, which is 313.5 passing yards per game in those two starts. But I am just so impressed with so many other things that probably transcend the box score. I think about a quarterback that other players respond to. And do you have command of the huddle? Do you have command of the operation? Like, you can't tell me when you watch Jimmy Garoppolo, you think to yourself, that guy's only been on the roster for what? I guess he was traded the day before Halloween? Like, that is, he does not look like a player that's been there for less than a month and a half. He looks like a guy that has foundational knowledge of that offensive system. The command is there. The skill set is obvious. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is obviously, you know, we talk about the arm. That's what the quarterback sort of golden trait is, right? How's the arm? Well, we know the arm is good with Jimmy Garoppolo, but there's a lot of other parts that are clearly working with him. And a guy who, you know, it's one thing to have the opportunity to be groomed in a really successful season system. It's another thing to clearly embrace it and make the most of it. And it's obvious that Jimmy Garoppolo took everything that he was presented with in New England and became a sponge to it. That guy has made major strides. He looks like a real keeper.
It's amazing what it does to the timeline and the outlook of an organization. And you don't want to overreact to two starts, but like you said, comprehensively, it's been very impressive. I mean, the only thing I think he hasn't done has connected on a deep ball, right? So if you're going to throw out areas of improvement, that might be one. But in terms of dealing with pressure, looking comfortable in a variety of aspects, in a new offense, with a new team, with receivers that aren't, you know, it's not Antonio Brown and DeAndre Hopkins, right? I mean, big ups to Trent Taylor and Marquise Goodwin for stepping up, but that's impressive. And so I can't help but think that it changes the timeline of this organization when you go into the offseason with $100 million and all the draft capital that they're going to have. And when you're not looking for a quarterback, that's a powerful position to be in. Obviously, you still have to spend that money wisely and land on draft picks. But it certainly changes things the second you're not looking for a quarterback. Would you agree?
Yeah, it absolutely looks like a team that's on the rise. And obviously, you got to find a way to keep Jimmy, whether that's a starting point of the franchise tag or whether a long-term deal is agreed upon sooner than that. But I would just say this, and I think the comparing teams, comparing players can be a little bit tricky. But I was with the Kansas City Chiefs working for them in scouting in 2009. And that year we went 4-12, but we finished the season with a huge win in Denver over the Broncos. Was it meaningful in the sense that, like, it changed our? Of course, it didn't mean anything. You know, we made the playoffs because of it, et cetera. But it set the tone for the rest of the season, and it looks like we had an identity in that game that was translatable going forward. 2010, we go ahead and win 10 games, win the division, make the playoffs. Post a playoff game. I'm not saying that, you know, this obviously this means the 49ers are bound for, you know, a division title next year. Obviously, two fantastic teams in the division in Seattle and Los Angeles, and then an Arizona team that, when healthy, is formidable too. But the vibes are really good right now in San Francisco. And I think there's a launching point going forward for the 49ers. And it's clear how this team is going to be built, who are going to be the key players, and what it's going to mean for this franchise going forward. And you got a brand new stadium. It's a rich tradition, arguably the richest tradition in the NFL in terms of the 49ers franchise. You've got, you know, a first-time general manager that brought a ton of buzz to the organization, John Lynch, and appears to be a quick study. You've got a, you know, head coach that's revered for his offensive mind. Like, I think a lot of things, it's not perfect. I get that. And no one's saying it is. But there's a lot to, if I were a 49ers fan right now, compared to where they were exactly 1 year ago, there's a lot to be excited about.
Field, you've covered free agency for a number of years, and so let's not make any mistake. Dollars and cents speaks louder than anything else. But when you're breaking ties and splitting hairs, how important are these wins coming down the stretch with guys in pinnacle positions playing well that look like a future future pieces in this organization. How much is that a selling point to free agents when, yeah, like I said, you got $100 million, but if no one wants to come here, if you're having to overpay, that's not a good sign either. And so, you know, when fans make the argument, well, dang, we didn't want to win these games because now it's costing us draft spots, a devil's advocate argument could be, well, it might cost you a couple spots in the draft order, but X free agent all of a sudden now views this as a much cushier landing spot with a team that's pointing upward.
I'd say this is the win, certainly it kind of helps. That definitely helps. But the better or the more we see of Jimmy Garoppolo playing like he has over the past 2 weeks, if he keeps this up, that right there is a selling point. You know, I would think that objectively speaking, wide receiver is probably a need this offseason for San Francisco. Pierre Garçon returning next year, obviously, at full strength is a big part of the equation there. But between Garçon and Marquise Goodwin, Trent Taylor, some of the other young players in that pipeline, you know, that's a great starting point. But, like, I think a true established difference-making wide receiver could go a long way for this offense. And imagine that you are a wide receiver that's about to hit the free agent market. And you're looking at the way that Jimmy Garoppolo is slinging it. And you're saying to yourself, like, I can catch passes from that dude who is mid-20s, I think 26 years old. That right there could be the greatest selling point. So even if the 49ers are going to go 0-3, if Jimmy Garoppolo throws for 850 yards and 8 touchdowns over the next 3 games, that might be the greatest selling point for any free agent in free agency, especially guys that are playing on the offensive side of the ball.
Phil, before I let you go, again, you don't want to overreact to 2 starts, but given where this guy has come from, what he's looked like in his first 2 starts on the road, what he looked like in New England when he played when Tom Brady was hurt, can you think of, I'm trying to quantify or qualify the magnitude of the trade, can you think of a time in the regular season, in the middle of an NFL season, that a quarterback of Jimmy Garoppolo's caliber has either been traded or switched teams?
Man, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think Brett Favre was traded just before the season, late in his career. You know, very different circumstances, obviously. But that's about as close as I think we're going to get that I can, you know, off the top of my head. But in terms of a young sort of building block type quarterback, no, I don't think I can think of it. Nothing comes to mind offhand. So certainly a trade that, yeah, nothing's given. And, you know, obviously Jimmy's got to continue to play well. The team's got to find a way to keep him, you know, financially, which, you know, they have the resources to do. But you got it takes 2 to tango. But, yeah, it's clearly a move that could be one that we look back at and we say that was a pivot point for this franchise.
Yeah, and that's wild. And this is the point I make is, you know, when you're on a rebuild, obviously you have to hit on draft picks. You've got to hit in free agency. You've got to have the right coaches in place, the right front office in place, and everything's got to go right, especially when you're starting from the ground up like the 49ers did. But I think you've got to catch a few breaks along the way, right? You've got to get lucky with a few free agents that, you know, I point to Seattle where they could have never dreamed that Michael Bennett and Cliff Avril were as good as they were. Obviously, they signed them for a reason, but, you know, but defensive player of the year type players, that's not something they might have expected, right? And all of a sudden, I don't think John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan wake up on October 30th and October 31st expecting to land Jimmy Garoppolo. And it's those kinds of breaks that I think you need when you're trying to rebuild a franchise. It'll be interesting to see how this works, but I think, you know, obviously you put yourself in positions to get lucky. You make your own luck, so to speak, but at the same time, it looks like the 49ers have got Christmas a little bit early.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, it's a really great point you made, Joe, about the need to, you know, find some fortune along the way, and that's not something that's, like, taking away from the organizations, right? Like, I mean, go to any team, any sport, I mean, the very best, right? I mean, anywhere. And, like, they've had, you know, various franchises have had great fortune. Like, that's just the way it works. That's okay. That's not a shot at the decision makers, right? Like,
yep.
I'm not in any way taking away from these players' merits, but, like, you know, did the Patriots envision Tom Brady becoming a 5-time Super Bowl champion quarterback when taking him in the 6th round? Did the Seahawks envision Russell Wilson leading them to 2 separate Super Bowls in the 3rd round? Did, you know, to sort of stick with the Bay Area, I mean, Joe Montana, a third round pick out of Notre Dame. Beyond that, like, how about Steph Curry? You know, I think he was a sixth pick in the NBA draft. Like, did anybody envision? I don't think anybody envisioned him becoming, you know, a multiple time MVP. Now he was you know, obviously you get drafted sixth overall for a reason. But players exceed expectations, or they meet them, or they, you know, they don't meet them, and it's okay to have a little bit of fortune. Like, ultimately, it's the sustained chances that we see that I think are sort of the best ways to define evaluators and coaches. And I think right now, like, there's a positive energy that you can sense from San Francisco. I think that they're on the right track. And whether you want to chalk this Jimmy Garoppolo opportunity up to good fortune or, you know, good craftsmanship by the organization, I think, to me, they deserve a lot of praise. And it's a move that I think has, you know, certainly a lot of upside to it.
100%. I couldn't agree more. There's three games left on the schedule. That starts at home in week 15 against the Tennessee Titans. It'll be Jimmy Garoppolo's first start in front of the home fans at Levi's Stadium. Field, I appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much for breaking it all down. Look forward to seeing you soon, hopefully sometime this offseason.
All right, Joe. That sounds good, man. Take care.